You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the herb.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program and a happy birthday to our good friend Greg DeHoot, the chairman of the UK Cannabis Social Clubs, who has turned 30 years old today. Amazing how much he's accomplished just in his 20s. So happy birthday, Greg. I hope you're having a good one there across the pond. Also want to say thanks to all of the fabulous people that I met at the UK Cannabis Social Clubs and the various other organizations that I got to meet at the Product Earth UK Expo that took place in Birmingham, England, took place just this last weekend, and I've got some of the audio unpacked for today's show. We're going to feature vendor interviews today in our UK Cannabis Chronicles. You're going to hear from all sorts of great people, including George, my Czech friend, who introduced me to some interesting Czech liquor, I got to say that. But he's with Rolls, these filter tips that are really nice filter tips for your cannabis smoking pleasure. Also, we've got an interview with Nika from Snail Custom Rolling Papers. And who knows, I might have some marijuana agenda papers coming up pretty soon. And we also got an interview with Gary, who is with Chilling Rooms, which was a cannabis lounge he's trying to put together and faced some problems with law enforcement there in the UK. So those three interviews coming up in the middle of the show today as we take you across the pond in the UK Cannabis Chronicle. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to tell you what's going on here in the state of Oregon with respect to our medical marijuana program, in particular, how the Oregon medical marijuana program is requiring reporting and inspections for medical marijuana growers and caregivers that are going far beyond what you'd expect and what we should expect as citizens as far as our Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. So we'll tell you the details coming up at the end of the show. But first, we'll start things off with the cannabis headline news. We've got all sorts of great news coming up in the headlines today, including our friend Tom Angel, who's got a new gig. You know him from marijuanamoment.net. He's writing for Forbes in our first story right now.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by marijuanamoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Tuesday, September 12, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Forbes is reporting that a powerful Senate panel is urging federal agencies to make a number of surprising marijuana moves, including launching an effort to test products sold at dispensaries in states where cannabis has been legalized. Concerned about a lack of data on the potency and purity of cannabis available to consumers, the U.S. Senate Appropriations Committee is directing federal agencies to formulate a national testing program for Schedule I marijuana-derived products. The senators, in a report issued on Thursday, are instructing scientists at the National Institutes on Drug Abuse to work with the Drug Enforcement Administration to study marijuana samples in an effort to, quote, provide robust, reliable data that can inform policy, end quote. Until 2014, the National Institute on Drug Abuse funded a program for testing samples of illicit marijuana seized by law enforcement, but has never before officially analyzed cannabis products that are legally available to consumers under a growing number of state laws. Nothing in Nevada law prevents a business from establishing a lounge or hosting a special event where legal recreational marijuana is used, according to a new opinion released by the Legislative Council Bureau, reported by the Nevada Independent. The legal opinion, requested by Democratic Senator Tick Siegerblum and dated on Sunday, offers more clarity after lawmakers failed to pass a bill last session that would have explicitly allowed marijuana lounges. A ballot measure passed in 2016 that legalized recreational marijuana in Nevada bars public consumption of marijuana, but doesn't speak to the legality of venues that control access and bar people under the age of 21 from entering. The opinion says that cities and counties may adopt and enforce an ordinance that would require businesses to obtain a business license or permit and obey applicable regulations. Officials with the Nevada Dispensary Association said they were pleased that local governments now have clarity on the consumption lounge issue. The leader of the DCMJ marijuana activist group that was arrested for participating in a smoke-in on federal property walked free from a D.C. court today after Judge Shanna Frost Mattini dropped all charges, according to the story in DCist. Adam Eidinger was one of four arrested at the smoke-in on April 24th, which was a planned act of civil disobedience to protest the continued criminalization of marijuana. This is the second time in a month that Eidinger has had charges dropped over weed advocacy on Capitol grounds in April. On April 20th, Capitol Police arrested Eidinger and seven other people and confiscated 1,000 joints that were part of a pot giveaway for Hill staffers on April 20th. While all eight of the people arrested spent the night in jail, Eidinger was one of the two to face possession charges after the charging document stated that he possessed 2.06 ounces of marijuana, 0.06 over the legal limit. However, he maintained that the weight included the joint's paper and filter tips. Prosecutors dropped those charges in mid-August. The LA Times reports that Governor Jerry Brown on Monday signed a bill that prohibits smoking or consuming cannabis while driving or riding in a vehicle in California. The new law makes a violation punishable with a $70 fine. It is already illegal to drive while intoxicated with marijuana and to have an open bag of cannabis in a motor vehicle. The new law bans actually smoking marijuana or consuming cannabis edibles while driving or riding in a vehicle. It is similar to open container laws that prohibit drinking while driving. An employee of a Washington marijuana shop remained missing Monday, a day after he was abducted at work, according to the Spokesman Review. Cameron Smith, age 46, was working at the Lucid Marijuana store in Cheney at about 12:45 p.m. when he was kidnapped at gunpoint after the store refused to sell product to two people. Michael Schofield, one of Lucid's owners, said a man and woman tried entering the store but were told multiple times they couldn't get admission without proper identification. Employees said the man then exited the truck and walked around to the side of the shop plaza away from the front door of Lucid, where Smith was sitting in his 2008 Acura SUV while on lunch break. Schofield said he assumed the man chose Smith randomly for the kidnapping as an avenue to relieve his frustration. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you appreciate my full-time dedication to reporting and analyzing the news about cannabis, consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $4.20 per month, you'll help keep my live stream and podcast free while earning yourself your own private ad-free podcast link for the show, as well as links to the supporting articles and data. For a $9.99 VIP subscription, you'll get all that plus my exclusive research, data tables, and graphics. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button today.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Welcome to the United Kingdom Cannabis Chronicle, brought to you by the UK Cannabis Social Clubs at ukcsc.co.uk, your source for relaxation and reform. Today, we catch you up on the latest news and speak with an expert from the United Kingdom on the latest developments in ending adult cannabis prohibition. This is your UK Cannabis Chronicle.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here in the United Kingdom. We are in Birmingham, England at the Product Earth Expo here in the UK. And I am at my first booth of the day. I think I've already found the winner for my favorite item of the event so far. It's the folks here with rolls. They've got some cone artist cone rollers, funnel kind of thing. They've got rolls filters, and we are here with the proprietor and owner of Rolls. It's George. Yeah. George, welcome.
All right. Nice to meet you, and welcome in Birmingham.
Yes.
So nice to meet you here, and it's a pleasure that you found our booth as the first one, and I believe we are the best pick of the fair anyway.
So far, so good. And you're from the Czech Republic?
We are from Czech Republic, and we founded the brand of Rolls 5 years ago, and we are spreading all the good vibes with the word by supplying the filters,
yes,
which you can use for your hair mixtures, or you know your weed. And the filter makes a really nice.
It's a good smoke, I got to say. We sampled it earlier, and a lot
already?
Of folks in the States right now are using these little, you know, crumple up a little piece of cardboard, rip it off the end of the papers, and crumple that up. And they're using that; they call it a crutch in the States. So, these are so much better. They're pre-made. They're half of it's like a filter, and then the other half is like what you're used to with the crumpled up kind of cardboard edge. But explain how that like helps as far as the getting the air through. You were telling me how it's like you can set how much air goes through.
Okay, so these filters are really special made. It's made by laser. It's laser-cutted holes inside, which brings the fresh air. It mixes with the air and mm-hmm. smoke. So the temperature of the smoke is reduced, and it's really pleasant. And you got no scratching in your neck,
yeah.
And your lungs doesn't inhale any bad stuff out of the mechanical stuff which usually pass through the usual filters.
Yeah, we just smoked a spliff off of this with one of these filters in, and it's funny too. These filters, what's the millimeter on that? That's what size is those?
So the size. Do you use inches or centimeters?
Oh, you go millimeters, centimeters, that's fine.
Okay, it's 35 millimeter long.
So we did.
And diameter, just what is bigger is better.
That's you what we were that. Talking about, is that he's got the smaller size for the European joints.
And which
he's
is got very the, popular.
But he's got this in the Jamaican looking
packaging.
And by the way, the packaging is amazing that you've got going here. It's very beautiful packaging. I love the sailor look on the romantic sailor kind of art going on. You said there's four different types?
Yeah, we've got four different types. There are the element designs. So the basic elements, once you need to roll a joint, you need some basics. And that's the paper, good weed, and really nice filter.
So they got
and this filter,
earth, wind, fire, yeah, and water. Right?
Yeah. It's a fire, water, air, and the earth element.
Right. And the other thing that's significant about having these kind of filters here in Europe is you guys use tobacco more in your rolls. We pretty much roll pure cannabis, but you guys roll with tobacco.
Okay, but if you just think about your usual filter, it's kind of chimney.
Yeah.
So it's a hole, and all is passing through all the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But imagine just taking out the filter out of cigarettes. Because
right.
Because you really got kicked by 1,000% more, and all the limits for the light cigarettes yeah. are really deleted once you use it without the filter, because it's the thing which reduces the risk.
Mm. Yeah,
so the filter is really made for reducing the health risk, so you cough less. The smoke is cooler. It's very smooth in the mouth, so
yes.
So the taste is not affected. And we've developed this stuff just to share good vibes with the people.
It's wonderful. It's a great product. Rolls is the name, Rolls. And can folks find you guys online? Is there a website they
yeah,
can go to?
It's roll69.com. And that's the international site where you can get all the connection all around the world.
Fantastic. And George, I got to tell you, I've been doing this for a dozen years. You're the first booth that's ever offered me a drink.
yeah, we've got some special...
First time ever.
Special supplies.
The Czechs know how to do this stuff, folks.
Okay. So we really care about the health. So that was healthy stuff from Carlsbad.
That was purely medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Just for, yeah, exactly that.
Well, folks, check it out. Roll69.com is where you can find more information on this. And these guys will be at events all throughout
Europe. And we are heading USA too. And you can buy also at the Greenwell company the rolls, ready made joints with wheat already rolled in California.
Okay.
So check that website, greenwell.com at US.
All right.
Enjoy.
Well, thanks so much, George. Appreciate you being here on the Marijuana Agenda, and good luck on the rest of the show.
Thanks so much for coming.
You bet. Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here at the Product Earth Expo at Birmingham, UK, and we are here at another fantastic booth. Tell folks your name.
Hi, my name is Nika, and I'm from Snell Custom Rolling Papers.
Snell Custom Rolling Papers. And where are you located?
We're located in Slovenia, the capital city of Ljubljana.
Slovenia?
Yeah, Slovenia. Fantastic.
You know, our first lady's from Slovenia.
Yes, of course. Yes, Melania Trump. Yes, we're very proud of that.
The Trump we like.
Yeah.
So tell us about your company. How did you get started in this business?
Okay, so actually the whole story started 20 years ago when my boss, Matej, he started making some filter tips, only the filter tips.
Okay.
And then he decided just to like make also some papers. And that's how the whole story started.
Okay.
He started producing custom papers first for some seed banks, you know, like different seed banks like Greenhouse, Dutch Passion and so on, and then he just like grew. And so we mostly now produce for different companies, not only from cannabis industry, but also we produce for different clubs, for different artists, for different events.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a lot of new clients in the United States since it's legalized.
Yes.
And since you have all these great dispensaries.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So hopefully we'll be coming to the States more often.
So, what are the laws like? What is the treatment of cannabis like in Slovenia?
In Slovenia, it's now the medical, it's getting legalized. So it will be possible to buy a small amount in drugstores. However, the drugstore, so it's not the dispensary. It will probably be just a drugstore. So like a pharmacy.
Like a pharmacy.
Yeah, like a pharmacy. And however, it's going to be regulated by the state. So probably the pharmacies are just going to buy the stuff from the specific people that already...
So they're not licensing growers? It'll just be kind of...
They are going to be licensed growers, okay. But I think it's probably everything's already arranged.
Sure.
And people already are... Yeah, so it's like this. But also we have like the THC tablets. I don't know, it's like...
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have a similar...
Yeah, but it's synthetic. Yeah, that's synthetic
THC.
Yeah,
Marinol.
Yeah, exactly. And they can also write a recipe, but we don't have it in Slovenia, so people need to go to Austria to get it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
well,
yeah,
that's no fun.
It's a nice trip. So, this is what's going on. But the laws are, I think, in the last couple of years, they really loosen up. And people are just acknowledging the fact that THC and CBD and cannabis in general is really helpful for people, you know. And we also have a lot of hash oil because there's a lot of people that have cancer. And so they take it and they try to help themselves, you know. But it's really bad because it's legalized. So people end up, like sick people end up in court and going to jail and stuff like that. So it's really, I know these were the cases in the States like also a couple of years ago. So hopefully, you know. Hopefully it will change.
So there's not been any difficulty or problem from the authorities as far as doing
as
your
far,
business?
No, as far as the rolling paper business, no. Because we actually, you know, rolling papers, you can use them either for smoking cannabis or you can use them for tobacco because we also have smaller sizes. This music.
And I know, we're rocking.
Yeah, this is a party.
Here we go.
Yeah,
so snail.si. So
no, it's actually snailpapers.si.
Oh, so that's wrong.
No, that's wrong?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I get for reading.
So
snailpapers?
Snailpapers.com. And people like end users can go online and make their own rolling papers starting at 6 pieces of booklets. So this is the first website. that offers this in the whole world.
So a small batch purchase.
Yeah,
okay.
You can just go online, and this is our specialty.
Okay.
So you can go online, design the papers online with all the tools that are online, and just order, pay, and you receive after a week. You receive like a minimum of 6 pieces.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And well, it's really, the pricing is really perfect.
And people can design their own
logos.
With their computer, whatever format.
Yeah, with
format.
Their computer. It's like, it's accessible to everyone. You don't have to be like a computer IT guy to do it. The program is really fun. So yeah, it's accessible to everyone. And it's really interesting. And it's really cool because you can have it as a present, you know?
Yes.
It's a unique present.
Yes.
So yeah.
Well, and for me, I could, you know, for branding.
Yeah, for branding, definitely. But we prefer to speak to people like you know, through the email. So if everybody, if anyone has an inquiry about bigger purchases, they can just email us. We have an email address on the website.
Okay.
But for end users, like for people that really want small quantities, the website is perfect. And
wow.
For you, you will be probably getting some presents.
Oh, I would like that very much. Yes. All right.
We will do something special. Yeah.
This is working out very well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking to
thank
us.
Thank you very much.
And good luck on the rest of the show.
Yes, thank you. And I would like to give a shout out to everybody listening.
Yes.
And also to all the people in Slovenia.
Go Slovenia!
Everybody who knows me. Yeah.
Yay!
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Product Earth UK Expo. I'm Radical Russ here in Birmingham, England, and we're sitting here with Gary, who is a fine gentleman who's been trying to help people with their access to cannabis here in the UK and paid the price for it. So, Gary, welcome to the show.
Pleased to meet you.
Tell folks your name and the cafes that you were involved with and your story.
My name's Gary Yowds. I'm from Liverpool, and my cafe was called Chillin' Room. I've been trying to end the drug wars for the last 20 years. I've been behind the scenes, and I've just got out of jail.
How long were you served?
I was served for 9 months imprisonment in Walton Jail.
Wow. And that was your second time?
That was my third time. Actually.
Third?
Yeah. I went to jail for the same thing in 2006.
So you've been trying to run cannabis cafes, basically?
Yeah, in the UK underground, I met him, a gentleman called Noel, and done a cannabis course in Amsterdam in 2002. And I went the course, and he showed me how to open a coffee shop, and through Colin Davis in the Stockport.
Hmm.
So, 5 years in the making, and then I done it all up and invited a few friends, and within days it was actually sold out every night. I had bands from all over the country coming, and it was a beautiful atmosphere, and the police actually raided it and finished it.
Wow. But you keep coming back, it sounds like.
But I'm still on license, so I can't do nothing because I'll be back in Walton, so I'm scared to actually even have a joint in my pocket. But I still go on my probation every week. Still trying to end the drug war, though.
It seems so frustrating that you're just opening up a place for people to consume cannabis. I imagine you get a lot of people with disabilities and sicknesses.
I used to have people coming in horizontal wheelchairs, and they were just so happy, and it was just a place you can't describe, but I'd say 20 or 30,000 people went through the doors, and there was never even a cigarette put out on the floor. It was a beautiful atmosphere, which I done all the cafe up and all the design and all the building work, and just created something. It's indescribable how nice the atmosphere was. But thousands of people experienced it, and hopefully in the future we can come and open it again.
Was there complaints from the community about this, or did the police just take it upon themselves to come raid you?
Chilling Rooms has never had one complaint about it ever in the years it's been open and operating. Not one complaint.
Not one complaint.
Never, not one.
Wow.
Never.
Just selective prosecution, cops looking for someone to bust.
I know it cost £400,000 for me investigation and the imprisonment, and it's a lot of money, isn't it? And the country says it's got no money.
Yeah. You'd think they'd solved all the other crimes by now.
I had 20 people employed there, and all of them were earning £10 an hour.
Wow.
So I was paying good wages, and everything was given back every day. It was a collective, people who were coming in was getting learned how to grow their own, so everyone can grow two or three plants, hopefully, so no one has to work for the habit no more.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to change anytime soon?
I'd love it to. I know my cafe's ready to go. I have to buy a few candles and open the doors, but I'm scared to even go there now. My community's scared to go there. As I say, last time there was 9 police searches, which is 63 officers come and raided it, which was really scary.
Yeah. A lot of time and money wasted to do this.
If your bike gets pinched in Liverpool, the police aren't interested. If your house gets burgled, you don't even send an officer around. But put a few plants in and there's two or three buses outside your house the next day.
Yeah.
Full of 5 or 6 of them. There might be 20 or 30 all over your house for a few plants, which is, come on.
Insanity.
It's insanity.
Well, thank you for telling us your story, Gary, and I hope that you're able to stay out of the clink.
Yeah.
And help some more people in the future.
Yeah. Look out for me. Hopefully, I'm going to put a chilling room in every town and city and right throughout the country.
Yes.
So people can learn off my example, all the hard work and dedication what me and my friends have put in over the years.
Do you have any contact information you'd like to give people if they want to help out?
You can find me online, Gary Yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm on Instagram.
Okay. Well, good luck with the chilling rooms. We appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks very much for speaking to me.
Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard on this massive drug problem.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Hey, everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
People don't smoke marijuana.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Program has been around for almost 20 years now. 1998, we passed the law. 1999, the program was put into effect. So I guess we're into our 18th year. But this past year or so, it has been a little bit more difficult for people in the program due to the legalization of marijuana in the state of Oregon. Actually, that's not the proper way to put it. The proper way to put it would be due to the prohibition of marijuana elsewhere. We have some problems with the medical marijuana program. And basically what's going on here is that the state of Oregon has decided, as well as the rest of the states, that they're really scared about the federal government interfering, and they want to make sure that they're abiding by the tenets of the Cole memo, the 2013 memo from the federal government, the previous administration, that said, hey, so long as you're following these eight guidelines, we'll use prosecutorial discretion and not go after your states. And one of those guidelines was to crack down on interstate marijuana trafficking. That is, marijuana legalization shouldn't lead to more marijuana being trafficked out of state. And the problem with this is it's kind of setting us up to fail. There's just no possible way you can stop the interstate trafficking of marijuana so long as there's a massive profit incentive to traffic that marijuana out of state. When marijuana in the state of Oregon is going for $500, $600, $700 a pound wholesale, or whatever it's going for now, I know it's getting low, but you can then take that same pound and travel cross country with it and sell it for $3,000. There's just no way you're going to stem that tide. There's just no way. And that's one of the problems as we legalize incrementally, is that what gains we make in legalization or other reforms still suffer the effects of the prohibition that exists elsewhere. This has been going on since Oregon legalized its medical marijuana program. As more and more growers began producing more and more plants, we saw evidence of those grows being used to conceal or to protect commercial growing and out-of-state marijuana trafficking. Now, this is not everybody. This isn't even the majority or anything near being a ubiquitous problem here. This is a few people that take advantage of loopholes and protections and some looking the other way to be able to do what they've always been doing. It's not like medical marijuana invented marijuana smuggling and growing, right? But it has provided for some unscrupulous people a method to protect those activities. And the problem with that is that it then impacts the people who most desperately need the medical marijuana program. See, what happens here is that we had in our medical marijuana program the ability for a caregiver slash grower, or two separate entities there, but let's just say caregiver grower, to be able to produce cannabis plants for a patient. And this is necessary. You got to have this, right? There are some people who are so sick and disabled, there's just no way you can expect them to go through the work to tend to a cannabis plant. So, of course, we've got to have some sort of caregiver grower system. And this has worked well for people who have skill at growing to be able to produce cannabis plants for multiple patients. Over time, this led to a situation in Oregon called card stacking. The way that it worked is that our law said that a grower could produce six mature cannabis plants for the patient they are growing for. But there were no limits on how many patients they could grow for. So you'd end up with a grower who would collect as many patient cards as they could, 6, 7, 10, 12, 20, whatever, and then getting six plants per patient could lead to some pretty big cannabis grows. Now, from a practical perspective, this is a good thing. You get the talented grower producing great volumes of cannabis. You get the economy of scale issue where, you know, the guy doesn't have to have, we don't have a whole bunch of separate growers paying for separate rent and separate utilities at separate locations. We're stacking it all in one place. So efficiency-wise, cost-wise, production-wise, this is a wonderful thing. But again, that profit motive, that profit opportunity to take some of that medicine and ship it out of state is too great to turn down for many people. And this isn't to be taken as an indictment necessarily. And I said unscrupulous early. Maybe I should retract that and put it another way, which is you got people that are sick and disabled, and they're usually on some sort of fixed income. And so you give them this product that can be sold for hundreds of dollars per ounce, and you say, whatever you do, don't sell that stuff. Yeah, we know you're poor, and we know you're on a fixed income, we know you can't make bills, we know sometimes it's a choice between rent and food, but don't take any of that extra marijuana and sell it somewhere and make some money on that. I mean, we're kind of, again, setting these people up. It's almost an entrapment, if you will. Same goes for the growers. We got these growers who in our original program were set up to do this altruistically. And so you're expecting these guys to care for 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 patients and all the time and effort that takes and all the materials and so forth. And then expect them to do that for free? Expect them not to recoup their investment at all? So what has happened is this has kind of evolved into this kind of shadow system of patients who are getting free medicine and are taking care of their needs, but also supplementing their income a little. And a system of growers who are altruistic and careful, caring for these patients and producing medicine for them and making sure they can get it for free, but also supplementing their income. And this evolved through the 1990s and the 2000s. And as we got into the 2010s, we started to see dispensaries appearing. And the legislature finally got around to legalizing that. And within that system, we ended up having our growers who were producing for all these patients then able to sell back into that dispensary system. The idea there being, hey, we know you're out there growing. We know you got a bunch of excess. How about instead of selling it out of state, you sell some of it in state? The profit won't be as great, but you're not breaking federal law. So this kind of worked out for a little while, this kind of balancing act we had, and then legalization came along. Well, once legalization came along, that created a whole new set of growers, commercial growers, who now had to go and get licenses and permits and inspections and follow regulations and spend all this money on security systems and testing and all sorts of stuff that those medical growers who were stacking cards, they didn't have to pay for all that. So these new commercial growers felt a little bit like, wait a minute, we've got this unfair competition we have to deal with. Why should we go and pay all this money and go through all this effort when we've got all these medical growers over here who can compete with us, stack a whole bunch of cards, have some pretty big size grows. And that's where we're starting to see this change coming. And it's happening in other states too, to various degrees. But in Oregon, it's happening as a sense of the legislature trying to balance out, how do we have as much medical access and keep that as free and unregulated as possible, keep it as close to what we got as possible, but balance the needs of this commercial market. And also, let's not discount the impact of the state trying to pull in tax money off that recreational side, therefore wanting to kind of tamp down how much excess there is in the medical side. It just becomes this big mess. And lately, the biggest part of this mess has just recently taken place. I told you how the growers were able to have 6 mature plants per patient. And it used to be we could have 18 immature plants that were defined as less than 12 inches tall and non-budding. And then they altered the law so we no longer counted how many immature plants there were. Which is, if you think about it, who cares how many immature plants you have? They're no good for anything until they become mature. So there was a time where we didn't care how many immature plants there were. Then this most recent legislative session, they came around and decided, well, no, now we do care how many immature plants there are. You can only have 12, but they can be 2 feet tall and non-budding. Okay. But the problem with this constantly shifting set of regulations and goalposts that we got is that we're talking about people investing time and money and effort into living things, into plants that don't so easily turn on a dime. We got people that are counting on these numbers to be able to make their grows match what their needs are. So you got a guy that's producing 6 mature plants and unlimited seedlings. Maybe he's got a whole bunch of seedlings going, trying to help other people, giving seedlings away to other patients to get themselves started. And then you go turn around and say, nope, you can only have 12 of those. You're expecting this guy to go and destroy however many extra seedlings he's got. Well, now the maddening part has to do with the OMMP inspection system. Didn't used to have inspections. Now, they used to have things called compliance checks, which is when the cops would try to fool you into letting them inspect. But of the most recent legislative changes, we've actually set up inspection of our medical marijuana growers. If you're not just growing for yourself, if you're growing for someone else, in order to do that, you now have to sign away your right to privacy. You now have to give the state the right to send inspectors to your grow to make sure you don't have too many plants, to make sure you don't have too much inventory, and so forth. Now, as you know, I've been working in this industry. I've been in this Oregon medical thing for, well, since 2003. And I've been married to, and I know quite a number of people who have worked in dispensaries and medical marijuana clinics. I know quite a few medical marijuana growers. In fact, I know some of the most powerful lobbyists in our marijuana programs here in the state of Oregon. So you might say I'm one of the best connected people here in the state when it comes to knowledge of the medical marijuana program, as is my partner here at Delta 9 House, who's growing the plants that we have. So we were quite familiar with the law. We knew the law. It said, hey, the law says you can have 6 plants per patient. And there were recent changes in the law that capped the total number of plants you could have at your residence or at your grow site. If you're in a residentially zoned area and you didn't have a previous grow, it's a new grow since 2015, you're capped at 12 plants max. And again, that didn't used to be the case. Used to be you could have as many patient cards as you wanted and 6 plants per patient, but that got abused. That got abused by some folks that were growing 104 patients worth of marijuana, and all those patients were from Los Angeles. That didn't look so good. But we were pretty plugged in. My partner and I are pretty plugged in. We know 6 plants per patient, maximum of 12. So we got the call from the medical marijuana program, said, hey, we need to come out, schedule your inspection. So we got our grow. Our grow's an outdoor grow. And the inspectors came by to inspect. And they saw that we had 12 plants, as per the law. And we failed the inspection. Huh? We failed the inspection? What did we fail for? We had the 12 plants. We were growing fewer than 6 plants per patient. No, what they failed us for is they said that that morning, the legislative council for the state, for the Department of Justice, handed down an opinion that said under the new law, you can only grow for 2 patients. And we were growing for 3. Now, we weren't growing 6 plants per patient. We were growing 18 plants, just 12 plants. So 4 plants per patient, right? But the Department of Justice here in Oregon that morning decided the new law means you can only grow for 2 people. Now, I've read that law. My partner is lobbies with the group that helped to write the law. And nowhere in this law does it specify you can only grow for 2 patients. It says you can have a maximum of 12 plants. You can grow a maximum of 6 plants per patient. But those 12 plants could be 6 plants for 2 patients, 4 plants for 3 patients, 3 plants for 4 patients, 2 plants for 6 patients, 1 plant for 12 patients. There's nothing that says you can't be growing for more than 2 patients. So when they make these decisions like this out of nowhere, they end up putting people who have all the best intentions, who are trying to follow law, they put them at risk for being fined, for being even jailed over this kind of stuff. And if this is going to catch me and my partner by surprise, two of the most plugged in people in Oregon, how in the world is your average rural medical marijuana grower supposed to know this stuff? But wait, it gets worse. We've had reports of someone else who had their medical marijuana grow inspected. Now, our grow is outside, so we just led the the inspectors around the backyard fence out to the backyard so they could see the plants, right? But this other place, the grow was inside. So the inspectors, when they showed up, said that everybody in the house had to leave the house during the inspection. That only the grower, the person responsible for the grow site, could be there during the inspection. And then they went through the entire house. Not just the room that was designated as the place to grow the plants. No, they're going through the kitchen. They're going through the living room. They're opening drawers. They're looking all through the house as if they were cops with a warrant looking for evidence of a crime. That's where it's gotten here with this medical marijuana program, is that the medical growers now are being treated as guilty until proven innocent. This inspection system and the reporting system that goes with it is based on the idea that the medical marijuana growers out there are cheating. They're supplying the black market. They're shipping out of state. And they've got to prove to us they're not. And this is just one of the side effects of our incremental legalization. It's probably inevitable that this is going to happen. And it's some of the stuff we're going to have to work through as legalization continues. The ultimate solution, of course, is for marijuana to be legal enough that anybody who needs it can get it, and cheap enough that anybody who needs it can afford it. It's going to be a while before we get there. And until then, we have to keep our eyes on these governments, these regulators, and keep fighting for our rights. Just because you've decided to grow plants to help sick people does not mean you've given up your right to privacy. We'll give you an update on this once we find more. We got some of our leads in at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program trying to get us some answers. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.